You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This week, the arts community has been remembering Nanette Cameron, who passed away aged 95. She's been dubbed Aotearoa's preeminent interior designer by arts organisation Object Space. She's instrumental in the flourishing of interior design practice in Tamaki Makaurau and nationally. Her passing has been met with tributes, gratitude and aroha for a woman who is described by those who met her as formidable, a sweetheart and everything in between. To hear more about her life, I caught up with retired director of Object Space, Philip Clark, who was the director of Object Space when they staged the major exhibition and published the publication Nanette Cameron, Interior Design Legend in 2013. When I chatted with Philip, we just started talking about Nanette. We are remembering her life today. As the publication you put out says, she's an interior design legend. Can you begin by explaining Nanette's career path?
Sure. She wrote a memoir in the publication that went with the show that we staged in 2013. And, you know, she revealed quite a lot about herself that even quite a lot of her very closest friends didn't know. And like a lot of people who've ended up working in the arts and cultural sector, it was a sort of a series of sideways moves in many ways for Nanette. She trained as a home science, doing a home science degree at Otago, and then taught in Auckland for a few years. Then she went off to London and with a friend, and they were away for a few years. And reading her memoir recently, it seems as though it was at that time she really worked up that she wanted to move into interior design. She said interior design was my goal. She came back, was teaching, doing some other things as well, and then she got a very lucky break to get a job at a shop called Herdsies, which was in High Street, which was really at that time one of the only sort of higher-end interior design businesses in Auckland, and she worked there for a number of years. She later married, had some children, did a little bit of private practice while she was a mum, and then she also got into writing. She wrote food columns and then was asked to write about houses for magazines, and then was asked to do some night school teaching, and eventually, I think it was in 1967, she did her first interiors course at Tamaki College. And, you know, her course at Tamaki College predated any formal training provided by academic institutions in New Zealand. And so that was a success. And then as things went, she was living in Pakuranga at those days, and she was very instrumental with a group of notable women to get the Pakuranga Arts and Cultural Centre established, and it was really the first purpose-built such centre in New Zealand. And once that building was developed, she was able to move, in a sense, what was her school into that premise. And so that still operates at Pakuranga. So, I mean, that's a sort of a brief outline of her career, which was, in a sense, moving from teaching into interiors. And then the bulk of her career was in teaching.
Yes.
Interior.
It's quite an extraordinary and trailblazing career that she had. In the publication of this major exhibition that you put out, you call her an interior design legend. What is it about her life that has given her this legendary status?
I think, in terms of interior design, so many paths go back to Nanette. And that's one reason why she's a legend. Like in 2013, when we did that show, one of the writers calculated that she'd had 4,000 graduates from her teaching, which is sort of incredible.
Wow.
And, you know, people, there's that line about, you know, you can judge a person's character by their friends. And, you know, when I got to know Nanette, I think I met her in the 90s a little bit, but I got to know her much better when I was at Object Space. She was always sort of surrounded by her former students. I mean, there's an alumni group called the Nanette Cameron Interior Design Guild, and that had hundreds of members. But Nanette was this person who always seemed to be accompanied by a sort of entourage of former students, but we could call them fans. It was sort of incredible to see, you know, these very mature, able women with Nanette. And they would talk about how Nanette had sort of changed their life in many ways. I mean, they had gone to her school, they had done the interior design training. Some of them had gone on to develop their own careers in interior design or related areas. But many people who went through that program said that Nanette changed their lives in many ways. She was quite candid about empowering women. She wanted to empower women, and she wanted to, the way that she thought and taught and about interior design was something that was connected with a whole lot of other areas. So it wasn't just a little cul-de-sac in a way. And so she talked about interior design in relation to architecture, art, engineering, environmentalism, history, literature, photography, philosophy, all of those things. And so people, you know, relayed their teaching is that being taught by Nanette is that it was a sort of a very immersive experience that wasn't just about, you know, what we might say textile furniture and, you know, materials, that sort of side of things. But she introduced them, in a sense, to the whole world.
Wow.
And actually, one of the writers, Dr. Rachel Carley, wrote an excellent essay for the publication. She said, you know, Nanette's approach made the personal political. And actually, I've got her essay in front of me, and Rachel talks about a theorist who says, interior design is interdisciplinary in its nature. It's a dialogue formed by architecture, art, fashion, film, engineering, history, literature, philosophy, product design and textiles. And I think that, you know, one of the great things about Nanette is that that view of interior design is a very contemporary view, but somehow Nanette understood that way back in the 1960s.
Right, from the beginning.
Yeah, so she was sort of, she had this very wide view of interior design.
Did you ever get to visit her house?
Yeah, I did.
What was the feel of her own house?
Well, she had previously lived in Pakuranga in a very sort of famous house that was quite well documented. But by the time I got to know her and visited her house, she was living in a really very charming 70s townhouse in Freeman's Bay. And I went there a number of times, and it was, it was very relaxed. It was sort of eclectic in a way, but often when people use that word eclectic, it sort of conjures up ideas of lots of things, but it didn't have a lot of things in it. Everything was sort of very considered, and it was comfortable and relaxed. But I think the thing that I sort of remember particularly is that it really was, the interior was in accord with the architecture. So I think that, you know, coming back to Nanette's great respect for architecture, she was living in the place, and the objects that she'd brought into it were, you know, in accord with that container, if we want to call it that.
Yes, and not trying to force a different taste into a space.
Yeah, and it sort of had, early on in her career, she developed a great interest in New Zealand studio pottery. So I remember, you know, there was a little bit of pottery, there was contemporary furniture, there was a little bit of older stuff. So it was a sort of, that's what I mean by eclectic, it was relaxed and, you know, it was a place for comfortable living rather than a show place.
Obviously, it's, as we've touched on, a very, very long and incredible career. 95 is very impressive, but obviously it's also a huge loss to the arts community. What are the arts community doing to celebrate her life over the next week or so?
Well, the funeral's on Monday, and then there's going to be a big, I guess, reception at Object Space following that. So that's what I know about. But I think that, you know, there are many legacies to Nanette's career and life. And one of the things that the project that we did in 2013 sort of brought out was how Nanette had been in many ways influential in areas like the visual arts and architecture. So, you know, she taught and graduated many people who came out of her course with interior design diploma. Out of that, all sorts, some of those people went on to commission, you know, pieces of New Zealand architecture. And she was, in fact, her teaching and herself were very influential for, you know, leading architects getting commissions. And in the publication, a number of people, Pete Bosley, Malcolm Walker, talk about that picture, Shire. They talk about Nanette as a sort of a major influencer in the development of New Zealand architecture. And I think similarly in the visual arts, Nanette created a great awareness amongst her students and those graduates about the value of the visual arts, and a number of visual arts buying groups were formed and have gone on. One of them, I think, that, you know, does definitely go back to Nanette, is still going, the Stitchbury Group, 30 or 40 years on. And so I think it's not so much just about what the visual arts community doing now, or the arts community doing now. I think that her legacy is alive and well in many different forms. And of course, Nanette, with a number of people, as I said before, were very influential in creating a number of institutions in Pakuranga that they were the Pakuranga Arts and Community Centre, and then what was called the Fisher Gallery, and that now both amalgamated into Te Tui. And so there's, you know, a very physical legacy in that community where she lived for a long time that will remain.
That was retired director of Object Space, Philip Clark, talking with me about the life of interior design legend Nanette Cameron, who passed away last week at 95.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.